shall we all send us with give reverence to the word of God. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Be not far from me, O God. Come quickly, O my God, to help me. May my accusers perish in my shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. But as for me, I will always have my hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. May God add this blessing upon the reading of his word, shall we pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege that you have given us today to meditate upon your word together. May the words of our mouth, O God, and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord, our strength and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. The congregation may be seated. Today we take a short break from our sermon series on the first book of Samuel. And the reason for this is because we are celebrating Grandparents Sunday. I would like to ask all the grandparents here to please stand. All grandparents, please, if you could stand. Grandparents. Amen. Let's give God a clap offering for these grandparents. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. That's the reason why we have taken a break from our short sermon series on the first book of Samuel. And we celebrate Grandparents Sunday. And we hold this special event. And we include this in our church calendar every year, specifically for the purpose of recognizing our grandparents and honoring them for the impact they have made not only in the lives of their own grandchildren, but also in the lives of the members of this church. I can say without hesitation that the grandparents we have in this church are truly God's gifts to us, and it is my prayer that as long as they are with us, we will never stop thanking God for them and showing them the love and respect that they so deserve. Now, as far as celebrating Grandparents Sunday in this church is concerned, it might interest us to know that we are not doing this alone. Because the truth of the matter is that this special celebration is being observed all across America today, other than, of course, the observance of 9/11, National Grandparents Day is observed all across America today. Now, if you want to trace the history of how this celebration came about, most historians would tell us that the person who really laid the groundwork or provided the impetus for the celebration to gain national recognition was a grandmother from West Virginia named Marian McQuaid. Marian and her husband, this is interesting information, Marian and her husband Joe were the parents of 15 children, grandparents of 40, and great-grandparents of 8, and it was Marian's work that began in 1956 that eventually helped persuade President Richard Nixon to proclaim a national shut-in day. So that was the first occasion of National Grandparents Day. In 1973, after a five-year campaign, Mrs. McQuaid pushed the legislation that Congress passed proclaiming the first Sunday after Labor Day, that is in the month of September, as National Grandparents Day. September was chosen to honor grandparents because it symbolized the autumn years of life, and it was President Jimmy Carter who signed the proclamation, which in a way ensured that the celebration of Grandparents Day will be observed by Americans for many years to come. So this, in short, is the story behind the celebration that we have today. But even if no proclamation was made on the part of our national leaders to set aside a day to honor our grandparents, I believe that we here at First Philippine Baptist Church we'll do it anyway, because when you really come to think of it, beyond the proclamation that our national leaders make, the more authoritative source of our mandate to honor our grandparents comes from the very Word of God itself, the Bible. In fact, it might interest us to know that the Bible contains several passages that have something to do with the way that we treat our grandparents, the way that we treat our lolos and our lolas, or those in the golden years of life. But on the flip side, it also contains passages that speak directly to our grandparents. And one of these, of course, is our text found in Psalm chapter 71. for meditation today, we'll be looking at this particular psalm in greater detail. But before we do that, I would like to mention that according to many researchers who have been tracking the growth of American population through the years, the most defining social change that is taking place in America at the present time, in other words, the most defining social change that is taking place in America today, is a phenomenon which they call as the aging of America. What this simply means is that as we look at the overall population of our country today, we cannot deny the fact that a substantial number of Americans are growing old. For example, according to this researcher, someone turns 50 years of age, and I turned 50 last week. Someone turns 50 years of age every 6 seconds in the United States of America. And people over 50 account for 43% of all U.S. households today. Next, the over 85 age group is the fastest growing segment of the population, and the number of citizens over 85 will double by the year 2030. Furthermore, the U.S. population age 65 and over is expected to double in size within the next 25 years. And finally, life expectancy at the turn of the century was approximately 46 years. Today, it is approximately 76 years. Again, what these statistics indicate is that population-wise, America as we know it today have more people who are in the so-called golden years of their lives than those who belong to the younger generation. And if we take the time, if we take these statistics into serious consideration, one of the things that really has to happen is for those who belong to the older generation to look for ways to intentionally or deliberately pass along their faith to the younger generation with the expectation that the younger generation will pass it on to the ones not yet born. Church, I would like to tell you that if we want the younger generation to grow spiritually, if we want our children, our grandchildren, our teenagers to grow spiritually, then those who are older must have the vision to pass on what they possess. Because the truth of the matter is that the character of our children tomorrow largely depends on what we put in their hearts today. And so in light of this call, especially for those who are older to pass along their faith to the younger generation, I invite you to open your Bibles once again to Psalm chapter 71. But for our purposes today, allow me to narrow our study to verses 17 and 18. And from these two verses, show two main lessons for our consideration. Please take note that in this meditation today, I will primarily be addressing the grandparents whom we are honoring in this church. But even if this is the case, my prayer is that those of us who are not grandparents yet will pay close attention to this message, because I believe that in God's own time, many of us here will also become grandparents. Amen? In God's own time, many of us here will become grandparents. Of course, we want that to be later, not sooner, right? We want to just enjoy life first before we take care, before we do our apostolic duties or we take care of our apostles. Now, going back to Psalm chapter 71, I would like to say at the outset that while we do not really know who wrote this particular psalm, majority of Bible scholars believe that King David was the author of this psalm, and they also believe that he wrote this in the latter years of his life. In verse 9, we read these words, "Do not cast me when I am old, do not forsake me when my strength is gone." Now here it is obvious that as King David was offering this prayer to God, he is at the stage of his life when he is older and weaker. But then as we turn to verse 14 of Psalm chapter 71, we will soon discover that in spite of his failing physical condition, he says that he will always have hope and he will praise God more and more. So in spite of the fact that he's already getting old, in verse 14, David says, "I will always have hope and I will praise God more and more." Finally, in verses 17 and 18, which again are the main scripture references for meditation today, we read here how David recounts what God has done in the past, and then as he looks ahead to the golden years of his life, his overriding concern is that he wants to live long enough so that he can declare God's power to the next generation. So we see from these two verses that old age was not a problem for King David at all. and old age was not a concern for him. And church, I would like to submit for your consideration today, especially to the grandparents, that just like David, grandparents take note of this. All of you have been called by God, not only to serve His purposes in this generation, but more importantly, to pass along your faith to the next. And you can do this by taking these two important lessons to heart. First lesson, grandparents, if you want to serve God's purposes in this generation and to pass along your faith to the next, first and foremost, you must know God in your youth and embrace everything that He teaches you. What this means, grandparents, is that you must make sure that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because it is only when you have this personal experience with Jesus Christ that you can teach your grandchildren about Him. Someone has said that we cannot teach what we have not learned, and we cannot give what we do not have in the first place. And so, grandparents, if there's one thing that we have to settle with ourselves, even before we can aspire to have an impact upon the lives of our grandchildren, it is that firm conviction that at a particular point in your life, you have placed your complete faith in Jesus Christ and allowed Him to be your Savior and your Master for as long as you live. I know that for many of our grandparents here, you have already taken this most important step. But for those of you who have not made this decision yet, I urge you, even today, on this day that we have set aside to honor you, to settle this before God right here and right now. I would like to encourage you that as far as God is concerned, He has always been patient in waiting for you to make that decision. And day after day, through His power, through the power of His Holy Spirit, He has been knocking at the door of our hearts. It has been asking us to let Him come in. This is my prayer that as God does this, it will not take long for you to respond to His invitation, because again, the truth of the matter is that the character of our children tomorrow largely depends on what we put in their hearts today. Lesson number two, grandparents, if you want to serve God's purposes in this generation and to pass along your faith into the next generation, you must show God in your years by leaving a legacy. Again, in verses 17 and 18, we read these words, "Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to the day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation and your might to all who are to come." What we see in these verses is that David is clearly declaring God's goodness to him. He's clearly declaring God's faithfulness to him. And David is more than willing to proclaim God's power to the next generation. He said, "I will declare your goodness. I will declare your faithfulness to the next generation." Now take note that the word "declare" in these two verses is used two times. And according to Vine's Expository Dictionary, it's a word that emphasizes three different things. So when we talk about declaring, this particular word emphasizes three different things. First of all, it emphasizes a person who has witnessed something and tells others about it. That's how you declare. You have witnessed something and you tell others about it. Secondly, it emphasizes a person who reports a matter of life and death importance. So you're declaring something, but then at the back of your mind, deep inside your heart, this matter is very, very important. And thirdly, it emphasizes a person who explains something to someone who lacks knowledge of it. So when we bring these three different emphases of the word "declare" together, what this means is that if we have witnessed the wonders and works of God, then we are expected to proclaim God's power, especially to those who don't know it yet, especially to those who have yet to receive that good news, especially to those who don't know anything about God at all. Which also means that before passing on, or before the Lord takes us home, we must make sure to pass that legacy of faith to the generations following us. Parents, grandparents, let me ask you this question. Are you ready to tell, especially your grandchildren, of the wonders and the works of God that you have witnessed in your life. Take note that as far as David was concerned, old age did not provide an escape for him, nor did gray hair disqualify him. Actually, it was just the opposite, because the older that King David got, the greater the urgency he felt to intentionally impact the next generation. Now, let me ask you this question again. Now, what about us grandparents? Can the same thing be said of your service to God, even in your old age right now? In one of my readings about our heroes of faith, particularly about John Wesley, and you know that John Wesley wrote many of the hymns that we sing even today, I learned that even in his senior years, even as in old age, he faithfully served the Lord. And the article says, in his lifetime, he rode 350,000 miles on horseback and preached some 40,000 different sermons. Just imagine, how many of you can preach 40,000 sermons in your life? At the age of 83, take note, at the age of 83, he complained because he could only study for 15 hours a day. At the age of 86, he was concerned, he was becoming lazy because he was sleeping in until 5 o'clock in the morning. So he felt that he was becoming lazy because he was sleeping in until 5 o'clock in the morning, whereas many of us sleep until noontime or until the afternoon of that same day. At 87, he learned his 11th foreign language. At 88, he was worried because he could only preach twice a day, 6 days a week. Grandparents, I'm not telling you to be exactly like John Wesley, but in your own unique way, can you even say today that you can be used by God to leave a legacy of faith to your grandchildren so that in turn, when the opportunity comes for them, they can pass it on to their children and their children's children? Let me close with this charge from Charles Spurgeon. And Charles Spurgeon, as we all know, is one of the famous preachers of all time. And he says this, if you are over the age of 50, would you please stand as you are able? If like David, you have slain the lion and the bear and the Philistine when you were young, up men and do another deed of daring, for the Lord liveth still and his people have need of you. Though your joints are rather rusty, and your limbs can hardly bear you to the battlefield, yet limp to the conflict for the lame to take the prey. He who helped you when you were but a youth and ruddy will help you now, though you are old and infirm, who knoweth what you may do yet. Oh, my honored brethren, Spurgeon continues, revered for your years, show us your mettle. Let the young ones see how victories are won, and let us see how he who is washed in the blood of Jesus Christ would not hesitate to shed his own blood in the Redeemer's cause. Your zeal will stimulate us. Your courage nerve us. And we too will be valiant for the Lord God of Israel. So may God's Spirit work in you and in us. Amen. Grandparents, as we have set aside this day for you, we would like to say that we love you, we cherish you, we thank God for you, and we honor you. May this day be the beginning of your faithful service to God if you have not done so. But for those of you who have faithfully served God through the years, I pray that you will keep on. I pray that you will forge forward until the Lord calls you home. And hopefully when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, when the Lord Jesus Christ calls you home, you will hear those sweet words saying, well done, good and faithful servants. Enter now into the joy of your master. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father God, that today you have been given the opportunity to honor our grandparents. But Father God, beyond honoring our grandparents, we honor you for giving them to us. And so, Father God, we pray that your name be blessed in this place as we have given you all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Before our praise team sings a song of consecration, we would like to ask all the grandparents who are here this morning, would please stand from where you are, grandparents, if you would please stand from where you are. Don't be shy. We don't want to, we won't crucify you for being a grandparent. And as an expression of our love and concern for them, as I lead us in our prayer, I would like to ask from where you are, if you could just come closer to these of our grandparents who are standing before us this morning. And what I want you to do is, if you can just shake their hands first and hug them a little bit. And as you do that, we'll give you time, and we'll be praying for you. We'll be praying for them. So why don't we do that, church members? As an expression of our love and our care for them, our gratitude for what they have done, we'll give you time. We'll give you time to just do that to all our grandparents today. Let's continue doing that. We'll give you as much time to express your thanksgiving to God for these, our grandparents. Now, while you're doing that, can you just surround our grandparents today and place your hands over the shoulders, if you can do that. We'll be praying for them, after which we will just be singing a song of consecration, which will be led by our choir with the praise team today. So please come closer to our grandparents, and if you could have the opportunity to just hug them, to embrace them, to lay your hands over their shoulders, we'll be praying for them at this time. Father, we lift up your name in this place because you're good to this church. You have gifted us with wonderful grandparents who have not only given their time, their efforts to take care of our grandchildren, but they have set the example for us, especially for Father, for the example of faithful service to you. Father God, I know that many of them are going through the rigors of old age, and many of them have to deal with aches and pains that come with aging. But Father God, even at this particular point in their lives, we ask for your strength. We ask, Father God, for your comfort. We ask, Father God, for your direction. That just like King David, when he said, "O Lord, do not forsake me, even when I am old and my years are gray," Father, I pray that you will not forsake these, O God. Father, we pray that you would increase their influence, not only amongst their grandchildren, but more importantly, Father God, you will increase their influence in this church and in the community to the end, Father, that people will know that there is a God who takes care of them. There's a God who directs them. There's a God who empowers them with such power that they can do great and mighty things for you. You know, this day that we have set aside to honor you, we pray, Father God, that we will not only do this on this day, but every day of our lives, Father God. But will we take the time to call them, to say hello to them, to just ask how they're doing, Father God. But most important of all, Father God, I pray that we will walk in step with them, giving us their journey continually towards faithful service to them. Father God, we commit and we commend these, our grandparents, into your keeping. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen.